Hey, all you sexy bookworms. Welcome to this special episode of Shit We've Read After Dark. This episode features spicy, mature content, and the topics discussed may not be suitable for everyone. Please, take care as you listen. Now, light some candles and make yourself comfortable as we get ready to go deep. Deep into this book, that is. We hope this episode is as good for you as it was for us.
Ho, 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 all you naughty bookworms, and welcome to a special eggnog-filled episode of Shit We've Read After Dark. My name is Jason Rico, and I've been selected as host of this episode. And that laughter you hear, which I believe is coming from Laura, are my co-hosts. So, Laura, let's start with you. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation.
This is going to be a very interesting episode. I have so many questions for y'all. I'm very curious what you all thought about this book. Let's move on to the other person that I'm going to be hearing from, Bella. Hi, Bella.
Hi, Rico.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Feeling festive. How about you? You getting in the Christmas spirit?
I am getting in the holiday spirit. I will not say if it was in thanks to or in spite of this book, but I am in the holiday spirit. And then joining us from her weeks-long battle with a strange, mysterious illness, she was able to pull through because she wanted to talk about this book so badly, is Emma Skies. Hi, Emma.
Just for you. Just for you and just for this experience, I decided not to die.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, for the listeners, I just spent 13 straight days with a pretty terrible, severe respiratory illness. I have most of my voice back, but you will hear me lose it. I do not have the upper registers of my voice, and I can't laugh. So we're going to see how this goes. But yeah, if you
challenge
hear something that
sounds accepted.
Weird, it's you. I mean, I feel pretty normal, but when I get into like higher pitches, it's gone. It's not back. It's just gone. I have nothing left up here.
We'll hold space for your
That's
voice
okay.
not being able to defy gravity right now, Emma. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I was supposed to see Wicked this weekend, and I couldn't because I couldn't sit for 2 hours or 2.5 hours and not cough, and I'm not an asshole. So I decided not to go to the movies and make anybody else sit through that.
Well, we thank you for that. It's very nice
of
you.
Yeah, I was going to say the world is grateful.
Absolutely.
I wish more people were like you, Emma.
Thank you.
Quickly, because you mentioned Wicked. I have a gripe with Wicked right now. I was not aware that this was only part one of the story.
Oh.
And it's fucking almost 3 hours. Why is it 3 hours long if not the entire fucking story?
I could not believe, because ever since they first announced that they were making this movie, I knew it was part one. And then all the promotions came out and I was like, none of this says part one.
Yeah.
They're not saying it in the trailers. It's not in the title. Nobody's saying it on the press tour. Nobody's going to go into this movie knowing that it's part one if they're not a theater nerd.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. I don't know why they did that.
To piss me off.
Bummer.
And yeah, we're not talking about Wicked today. We are talking about Railed by the Krampus by Dahlia Davies.
Same.
Solid segue. Nice transition. Really seamless.
Thank you. I am not a professional. But before we get into the book, as always, you know, with these type of episodes, some of us tend to imbibe a little bit. So is anybody drinking anything fun other than perhaps medicine for Emma?
Yeah, Emma's currently on Scissorp, if you will.
Okay.
There's a giant bottle of water in my screen
she's
for the audio
hydrated,
listeners
nice and
right
hydrated.
Now.
Good job,
I'm
Emma.
I'm just happy to be here.
We're happy you're here.
We're happy you're here with us.
Bella, Laura, anybody?
I have a fun beverage. It's non-alcoholic, but I realized I had a fun, festive, non-alcoholic beverage, so I grabbed it.
Oh, no.
I am drinking Trader Joe's sparkling water. Winter sangria.
I thought you were going to say you were drinking eggnog.
No, Emma. And let me tell you, this book has ruined eggnog for me. But we'll get into that. I was really excited for eggnog this year, and now I'm not. My innocence is ruined. But we'll get into it.
Okay, so I did get eggnog for tonight. And I made spiked eggnog, and I did not like it.
Fair.
Nor do I like eggnog itself. And I say this, it's a vegan version, so it might taste different. So I gave that to my husband.
Does he, and know? Instead, does he know what you gave him?
Pinky. Yeah.
He does. He's the one that told me I should drink it for the episode tonight. And I was like, I just don't like it. I just don't. So I made myself a spiked cider.
Nice. Excellent.
Then it's just not worth it to commit to the bit.
Jason.
That's what I decided.
Jason, do you have eggnog?
I'm drinking eggnog. I'm drinking spiked eggnog.
Of course
I put some spice rum in here.
Ew.
I am fully committing to the eggnog bit.
No.
Is it spiked eggnog or just eggnog?
No, it's spiked. Yeah, it has a spiced rum in it.
Nice.
Also a reference to the book.
If I had any innocence left, it's gone.
I feel like
this book ruined it.
I feel like out of all of the books that we've read, this one is probably the easiest to do a drink based on it.
Yes.
Because it's just so straightforward.
Well, in my defense, I had decided on this before I even read the book. I was like, I'm not going to even try to tailor a drink to the book. It's the holidays. I'll just do some spice eggnog, like easy peasy. And then I was getting through the book and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Dear. But you know, it's too late to turn back.
Yeah.
So here we are drinking spice eggnog. So yes, this book, Railed by the Krampus by Dahlia Davies. It is a paranormal romance fantasy novella. It was published in July of 2023. It is self-published. Before we get to the synopsis, I do want to mention the trigger warnings from the website. This book contains birching / caning, breeding, death of a parent prior to the book mentioned, explicit human, non-human sex, fat shaming / slut shaming, postpartum depression prior to the book mentioned, suicide prior to the book mentioned, use of emergency contraceptives / unconventional family planning. So if any of those are perhaps troubling to you, please look after yourself and proceed with caution. All right, synopsis time. Prior to the episode, I determined that Laura was going to be reading the synopsis. It's an easy one. So Laura, why don't you take it away?
Sure. Deck the halls with mirth and mischief. When I said I'd sell my soul for a lump of coal on Christmas Eve, I wasn't serious. Not really. But the strange shadow that has always lived behind my mirrors doesn't get the joke. Now I'm at the mercy of Klaus's bargain until I can bring him 12 increasingly ridiculous gifts. Why are most of them birds? But the creature that lurks in his domain wants something more. Something infinitely more delicious.
Thank you for that, Laura. Mm-hmm. All right. As we always do, first thoughts, non-spoiler impressions. I'm going to start with Emma.
Do you ever think the written word was a mistake? Because I do sometimes.
What a philosophical question.
Oh, I'm so glad I started with you.
I really just, you ever find yourself reading something and you're like, you know what? Literacy, I don't need it.
Overrated.
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
There's so much to say about this that I will get into as we talk about the book. I obviously can and will talk about how bad the writing is, how this isn't edited at an embarrassing level. Like, why am I finding glaring grammatical errors on the first page, plural? But by far, I think the biggest sin of this book is that it's so boring. It is mind-numbingly boring. And like, how do you take a book about Krampus, railed by the Krampus, and that's boring? Like, of all the things you could be, it shouldn't be that. I didn't enjoy this. I didn't like this. I feel like this is 3.5 hours of my life that I won't get back. Yeah. I'm upset about it.
Thank you for that.
Start us off.
Thank you. Bella, what are your thoughts?
Piping hot take from Emma, but I expected nothing less. As I read this, I was like, I cannot wait to hear Emma just rail on this book.
Okay.
No pun intended.
I'd rather read 3.5 hours of Emma's critique of this book than reread this book ever again in my entire life. I agree with everything she said. Plus, it destroyed any sort of Christmas cheer I might have been starting to have at the beginning. I didn't know you could ruin Santa and improve Krampus in the same book.
Same.
Yeah,
that I respected.
That was really interesting. I was like, okay, so the only good part of this is we sort of like swapped the stereotypes, the prejudices or the assumptions that you go into this on their head, which was the most interesting part of the book. But otherwise, it just wasn't very good. I was talking to my friend, neighbor, and a former guest host, Zila France, about this book, and was like, I don't know how something with a double dick could be so boring, but also like just not good at all. Like those sex scenes are boring. The sex scenes are unimaginative, but also it's ruining Christmas. So like the author has that going for her. This is like the worst Christmas book I've ever read. And I've read a lot of Christmas books. I watched a lot of Christmas movies. This is by far the worst one I've ever been subjected to. That includes the Hallmark's like heavy-handed Christian like propaganda. So I'd rather watch a Hallmark like heavy Christian. No, I can't say that because then someone's going to call me on that and make me watch it. Never mind. It's just bad.
It's just bad. All right. Thank you. Laura, what are your thoughts?
I feel like I don't hate it as much as Emma and Bella.
Okay.
But I also did not enjoy it. Uh-huh. I feel like there was so much potential with this story.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that it was far more the theme. It was Christmassy, whereas like for the Halloween book, it didn't really feel Halloween. Like this had kind of the spirit of the holiday in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was very boring. At first, I was like, oh, I like the teasing. It's like getting her more interested, wanting to come back the next day. But it just kept drawing out, and then like it just felt like nothing was really happening, and I just kind of found myself kind of getting bored and not really liking the characters, and just I kind of knew what was going on with Krampus and Klaus pretty early on. It was pretty obvious. Hated that our main character was not very smart.
Mm-mm. At no point.
and no point in this story did she have like any real intelligence, I would say. And there was just a lot of little things that kind of annoyed me. But at the same time, there were certain topics that I liked were mentioned or addressed in certain ways that I did appreciate. But overall, I would say it was not my favorite.
Okay. So we're 3 for 3 on Bah Humbugs for this book. I'm going to go ahead and make it 4 for 4. We're batting 100. We're batting 100 on this as a Bah Humbug, as no bueno. I think I'm more in the camp of you, Laura, where like it wasn't totally horrible. There was some stuff about it, and perhaps this is just my holiday spirit wanting to enjoy this. There were some things in it that's like, you know what, like, in a better book, this could be fun. The whole Krampus-Santa relationship, like you said, was very obvious. But I did enjoy what that was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And in a better book, I would have liked to have seen that explored. The groundwork of using a very popular Christmas song as a story, I thought that was fun. It didn't really land, but mm-hmm. in a better book it could have been fun. And the sex scenes, strangely enough for me, coming from me, I think a little more plot would have made them better.
Wow. Okay.
Just a little bit more of a connection to the characters.
Yes.
Just a tiny bit more.
Okay.
To have that kind of resolution, that payoff. So it was the worst thing I've ever read? No. Was it overall enjoyable? It was a thing I read. And I think that's all I gotta say.
A holiday question about this book.
Sure.
To your understanding, everybody, do the 12 days of Christmas start on Christmas?
No.
Or end on Christmas?
I think they start on Christmas.
Oh, well, then never mind. I have
been thinking,
because it starts the book and like the first day of Christmas is on Christmas. And I was like, is this right? Not that it ultimately matters in the grand scheme of things, but it was something that was in my head. I was like, have I been wrong about this my whole life?
I feel like just maybe last year I looked this up or something similar, because there's a myth or belief, I think in Italy, about a Christmas witch that comes like a few days into January, which would coincide with the 12th day of Christmas.
All right,
fair enough. Google says it starts on Christmas.
Yeah.
I learned something from this book.
This book was educational. It's the best book we've read.
Look at this. Excellent. Wonderful.
I didn't think we were reading these for educational purposes, Rico. So.
Oh, I am.
I thought it was wrong the whole book. And I was like, this does not make any sense.
Oh, well, there we go. We've all learned something today. I don't think anybody has anything else to say before we get into spoilers, right? We're ready to just jump
in. Let's dive in.
Okay. So this book is called Railed by the Krampus. And if you know anything about the Krampus myth, the Krampus is not a good guy. He is Santa's foil. He is the anti-Santa. He punishes bad children. I was fully expecting this to be like a really dark fantasy, I guess. Dark romance, I don't know what the proper term is, but just like Krampus being a bad guy and doing some very questionable things.
Mm-hmm.
And Krampus is like sweet in this, and super I didn't like that. I did not like that. This isn't what I signed up for.
It feels very unimaginative as a concept to take Krampus and take the idea of a villainous character or a darker character and then just make it easy for yourself as the author so that he's not that. Right. Like, you don't have to contend with anything, you know, negative. You don't have to contend with like moral ambiguity even. He's just a good guy who
misunderstood.
Yeah, and like at one point punishes like some people for something, but it felt lazy. It felt very lazy.
Listen, as someone who was really scared by like the level of dark romance we were possibly wading into with Krampus, I was happy, but I also didn't like the book. So I was scared going into it. I was like, fuck, this is going to be really dark and really fucking weird. And then I was like, oh, it's boring. And I was like, oh, no, it's boring.
Yeah. Fuck.
It was like, it was good. It was bittersweet for me. Like, yay, didn't have to be scarred for life. Still kind of scarred for life with the eggnog. I don't know. Not going to look at eggnog the same way ever again. Nope.
I feel like for me, there just wasn't anything in this book that's going to stand out other than how frustrating of an experience it was. Like, genuinely on the first page, there are like three or four glaring errors. And I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, this is not bode well. If we were not reading this for the podcast, I would have stopped this book within the first like five sentences and been like, no, I'm good. I'm out. But alas, I'm here for the podcast. So I read the whole thing.
I felt so bad reading this because you have been sick. You've not really been reading, you know, like, and this is what we get you to do coming back.
I do blame you. This is your fault.
Yeah. It is not my fault. It is not my fault. We collectively let this happen.
I suppose. Although, here's the thing, though. While it is not a positive of the book, it does have me thinking a lot about things. And I think that that's good. Every time that you read a book and it causes some, or like it unlocks some thought or allows you to kind of articulate something, that's a good thing, even if it is for a negative reason in the book. And like, I'm thinking a lot about editing in this book, and not ever a pushback I get from you guys, but pushback that I get online a lot when I'm talking about this. And for anybody who's listening who feels kind of similarly about like, I rag on the editing a lot in these. Like, I really do. If it's bad, it's bad. I do not have the patience for it just because it's indie or just because it's monster romance. And a lot of that comes down to like, oh, it's not that deep. You're taking it too seriously. It's not that important. But I think it actually is. I actually do think it is that deep. It is that important. I have enough respect for the work to view it in a way where I am taking it seriously in the way that it's meant to be taken seriously. Like, is it satirical? Is it ridiculous? Yes, in the plotting, and it's supposed to be, and I can meet that where it's at. But when we're talking about like the actual work itself, it does no good to anybody, not the author, not the story, not other readers, to like pretend that it's okay that the editing is this bad, that there are misspellings in the book, that it is the writing and grammatical errors actively work against the narrative, because it is so chock full of sentence fragments that it comes off robotic and mechanical, which is a feeling that goes into the entire narrative.
I hear you. I don't disagree with you. I will say that I go into these books, especially these self-published smutter books, expecting the quality of the writing to be lower. I'm not saying that to justify it. I know it is. I'm not saying that to justify it, to say it's okay that it should be that way. But I think for me is like, it just is an inherent problem of authors is self-publishing without the additional editing, getting the eyes on it. It just is what it is. And so while I do like take that into consideration with my overall rating of the book, I don't let it deter from my enjoyment of the book, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, unless it's just blatantly like a chore to overcome, you know?
I definitely noticed.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I definitely noticed the writing was not the greatest, because there were sentences that I had to reread several times.
There were a few. Yeah.
To understand what was being said. Yeah. I can overlook typos and stuff here and there, but when I have to reread like that, that's when I'm like, okay, this is not okay.
She struggles, I think, with pronoun usage, and that like if there are multiple people in a scene, she seems to either mess up pronouns occasionally or just not use them enough in a way that if there are too many people in a scene, you don't know who's talking, who's doing what's happening.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, who's moving here? Who's in this room? I can't tell. Like, your use of pronouns is something's wrong here, and I just don't understand what's actually physically happening in this scene, because the way that you're writing it makes it difficult to decipher. And like, that is when things become like a problem, when you are affecting the narrative with how bad the writing is and how unedited it is. And the thing that I constantly think of when I'm doing this is like, I'm not a professional editor. I don't have an English degree. I don't have a creative writing degree. I am not trained in this at all. So if I'm catching errors like this and I'm just a layperson, how did you, the author, not catch it? Which, understandable to a point, but like in rereading your own work, how are you not catching these things? And B, how are you not employing either through paid means or volunteer work or trade work with other writers, employing any beta reader who could catch any of these? What's going on here?
Well, and I think to your point about the quality of the writing reflecting in the quality of the story, it made it feel flatter overall. Yes. Mm-hmm. There was no depth to this. Mm-hmm. It felt very rushed at times, especially like kind of tying this into, Rico, what you mentioned about like the 12 Days of Christmas being like a good idea, you know, play on the song. It was too long. 12 challenges that she had to overcome was too much for this author. Like, the first few felt more thought out. The challenge itself was a little bit harder for her. There was more of a story, more characters involved. Like, we get another god in there who they never appear again until like the very end. I think they're referenced a couple times, but otherwise, like, her friend basically disappears for like the middle chunk of the book. Her best friend in the entire world, who like presents a conflict at the beginning that doesn't come back up until the very end. Like, I think she got overwhelmed with the story. So like, it started off as a really strong idea and then it was too much. And so the middle just lacked depth and complexity. And even like there's like the conflict with the elves in the middle. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot the elves even existed. Like, she brought them back just to create conflict, and even then it was like wrapped up in a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that, because I feel very similarly about like the 12 days just not working out. Did you notice that she never says what days 9 and 10 are? They're not in the book.
I did notice that.
I was like, what are they?
Skips day 12. Like the entire day 12 is just skipped and we go straight from one night to the next night. And I was like, okay, so at a certain point you kind of lost the plot on what was going on here, or it was going on too long and you ran out of ideas, or something happened here where you're not even mentioning what they are anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like she just wanted to focus on the relationship between Krampus and oh my God, her name.
Holly.
It's your turn this time.
It's my turn. How embarrassing. But also says a lot about the book. Holly, how could I forget? Little Berry, Little Bush, as they kept referring to her.
Yeah, I don't think he ever called her Little Bush.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Should have.
They mentioned
her. Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
That would have been really
funny.
That's
a whole different thing in the book, yeah.
I think they mentioned like, oh, like, do you want me to like hit them with your bush or something, which is like her namesake or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. There was references to the Holly Bush. Anyways. Yeah. I don't know. It just was not, it was bad overall and it lost the story. Like I could have maybe gotten into it, but it really took me out of it when I was like, there is no plot here and there's not even good sex scenes. Like it's just all bad.
Like that's it's not like,
it's not like she rushed the plot to get to the hot sex. Like there was not even that. I felt bad for Rico. I was like, oh, he's going to be really upset. Like this was not good. Like the sex scenes were rushed. I was kind of confused about what was happening in between. Like we get like the beginning of like her starting to do something and then it's over.
Yes.
And I was like, did anything?
Yes.
So quickly.
There are multiple sex scenes where I didn't even realize it had started and it was over.
Yes.
It was very, it was so vague.
So quick.
I have never, this was something that I kept coming back to. I have never read an erotica novel that is so deeply uninterested in eroticism. There is not an ounce of feeling in this. Like the idea of erotica, and when you're reading these stories, the point of erotica is the feeling. It's the description of what the intimacy looks like between these people. That's the whole purpose of it. Whereas this is coming at it as though the entire purpose is just to say, oh, they had sex and it's on the page. That's not the fucking point. That's not the reason that it exists. And that is not the reason that people read these books. It's for the eroticism and the feeling of which this book has nothing.
Like I almost would have preferred like a rom-com with closed door sex scenes than like this weird in between, not erotica, but not closed door, not fade to black, this weird vague in between.
Just go, girl, give us nothing.
Yes, it was giving us nothing. And I really did, Rico, I would love to hear more of your thoughts on the erotica. Because I really thought about, because we always ask like the plot to smut ratio. And I was like, both were lacking. So were they equal? Was it a 1-to-1, but it just was like really bad?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a 1-to-1 because there wasn't a full dosage of sex or a full dosage of plot. It was quarter to quarter. You know, we got a quarter of each.
Rico, I don't think you understand how ratios work. First of all,
I understand. I'm trying to point out that.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
We interrupt this for a math lesson.
Okay. Look, I was on board for this episode being educational. We said no, so. Leave your education out of this.
I'll dumb it down.
No, thank you. No, I fully agree with what you're saying, Emma, that the point of these sex scenes is supposed to be about the feeling and the emotion and progressing the plot of the book. And I know I joke about, and we all joke about, like, me just wanting more sex scenes and more interesting sex scenes, you know, for sure. Like, yeah, in some cases, that is kind of the fun of these books for me, but it needs to be so well done if it doesn't have any sort of emotion or plot. And this did not have that whatsoever. We've pointed out in other books setups that don't really pay off when it comes to like a creature with like a double dick or, you know, like certain things. And this book is called Railed by the Krampus. I feel like at no point did he really rail her. Like, she did a lot of writing. Like, it's like, okay, so you're not even paying off the title of the book. Like, if you gave me just at least that good scene, then all right, you've cashed that check. But that was even cached. And the one scene where we got where we did really use, or I guess the first scene where we did use both of his entwined dicks, we didn't really know until after the fact. It's a smoke and mirror misdirect. I'm like, oh, I would have preferred the anticipation of knowing that he's going to enter, you know, but that's important. Yes. Like the mind games of sex and like leading into it, is like, you know, the language is like, you're going to feel both of them and blah, 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 blah. Like that is what makes those scenes fun, not after the fact. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I guess.
So what I'm hearing is Rico, you're going to write this book.
I'm going to rewrite this book.
Anybody's book.
I'm going to rewrite this book.
And to your point on like the double one is that there's also, she puts in, it is a plot point that there is an anal plug punishment reward, whatever. I don't understand why you would put in both A, double penetration, and B, anal plugs, if you are seemingly afraid to use the word anal or anus or any indication
That's
of
true.
Where those things are going, because she never says
that is
where
true.
It's going. There are multiple scenes like that. And you're just like, why are you embarrassed about this?
Okay, I clocked that too, because I went back talking about like going back and rereading things. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, I thought that was an anal plug.
Yeah, where did you put this?
Can we go back? And so I reread it and I was like, because it mentioned her like, I don't remember what phrasing was used, but I was like, wait, did they put that inside?
Yeah, it was so fucking vague.
Her pussy? Like, I'm confused. And so I went back and was like, no, it's definitely a butt plug, but we never said butt. Mm-mm. We never said where it went.
Yeah. It just reads like she was embarrassed to write it and didn't want to use the word. And right. I was like, what are we doing here?
So yeah, far in all these books, like the authors have fallen under three categories when it comes to writing body parts and sex. They've either fallen in the – they use some words way too often. Please be a little more imaginative. They fall into – you're being too imaginative. You can just call it what it is. And then, like, you have the Goldilocks zone of, like, okay, perfect ratio. This is now a fourth one where we don't refer to it at all. We're not going to say what these acts are or these things are. Okay. It's like, I'm almost ashamed to say anal.
Okay, so actually on that point, the double penetration thing, I was like, where are they both going? Because you're not telling me. Are they both inside
I didn't know.
Of her? After- inside of one hole or are they in each hole?
Yeah. After that scene, I was like, wait, was that double? Was that a double? And I had to like go back and look at it again.
There's one where both go in her vagina uncork, mm-hmm. unswirl. And then like the tail is used in the butt. But even that, I was like, again, had to reread it. Like, is that what's happening? Because it was not descriptive at all. Like to Rico's point, it was like, I'm not even hot and bothered by this because I'm confused.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys read the acknowledgments of the book?
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the acknowledgments you would have seen, she talks about how this is, by the way, as we're talking about this, I don't feel bad about being harsh about this book because this is what, the eighth iteration in this series? This is not first rodeo. How was this happening eight books in? Or something to that. Somebody can check me on that. But the first book in the series is Railed by the Easter Bunny. That was kind of like the start of all of this. And if you read the acknowledgement, she says, Railed by the Easter Bunny started as a joke. Like the title of that book was a joke. And then suddenly I was writing it. And as soon as I saw that, something clicked and I was like, yeah, I can tell that you never really cared about, or it doesn't read like you ever cared about what you were writing. It was a joke. It was a funny, haha, look how shocking this is joke, because I don't even feel like you are taking what you're writing very seriously. You're almost writing that as though you're ashamed of it or embarrassed of it, or you're basically just not going all the way with it because you are not saying any of what's happening. You're not describing what's going on. It feels very much like the shock value of, oh, Krampus is having sex with her. But like, what does any of that mean? This is the most boring, lifeless, utterly uninspired erotica novel I've ever read.
Yeah.
I have a lot of feeling.
So there are eight books in the series, but Railed by the Krampus is book three.
Okay.
But still not the first one.
I think in the acknowledgement, she also says that this wasn't necessarily supposed to be as long as it was. Like,
no.
It was supposed to be a much shorter book. And then she like got inspired and just kept going. And I was like, you shouldn't have.
Yeah,
sometimes there is such thing.
It's supposed to be a companion book to the Yule Cat book.
Yeah, so I guess the cat that she interacts with that couple of times has its own book.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why these are happening.
The Yule Cat. It's a very popular myth we all know about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You can't write a book about Krampus seriously. I get it. It's a joke. But commit to the bit. And there was no commitment to the bit. Like, get cringe with those sex scenes. Like, there was not enough of the switching. I was like, Krampus is known for that. Krampus
is known for.
No, like, number one thing. Yeah. All I know about Krampus is Dwight Schrute's folklore sharing.
Hilarious.
In The Office. That's all I know. And the main takeaway from that is the bad kids get spanked. And there is a shocking, thank you. I was like, what are the words? I'm so fired up. I forgot what I was saying. A shocking lack of spanking in this book. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it happens like once. And then maybe like the second time, kind of. But again, that sex scene was like really weird and confusing. And at that point, it was like 80% of the way through the book. And I was like, I'm over this. I'm so bored. So I didn't pay attention. And, you know, it's really offensive to the monster lovers out there like Rico, who, you know, you give them a monster, they're going to want the freaky shit. And this, even the double dick was like kind of boring. And the eggnog was too far with the bit.
I have a question about the eggnog. Here's the thing.
I'm out of eggnog. Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions about the eggnog.
Oh, Rico, no, don't say that ever again. I'll never hear it correctly.
The more concerning one, but not my main point. This woman is going to spend the rest of her life with a UTI. Because if it tastes like eggnog, that's not happening without some chemical composition of sugar in there. This woman's going to spend the rest of her life with a UTI. But you know what?
It's magic, Emma.
It's magic.
He's a god. And second of all, there's rum in it. So the alcohol's killing anything. That's science. Come on.
That is always in front of my mind in sex scenes. Is always like, who's getting a UTI here? What's happening? Anyway, but okay. So my question, the eggnog scene is, it's a blowjob scene, right? Mm-hmm. She's blowing him. He finishes. Mm-hmm. She swallows.
Correct.
And then a secondary coming where like he pulls out a glass and continues. But like there was a pause there. So what happened? What is that? I have no logistical questions.
I knew one of you was going to bring that up. I think I have an answer for it. I don't know if I want to answer it, though.
I have a potential answer for it. Is yours that it involves the fact that there are two dicks?
Kinda, yes. It's
that
not
was my only potential answer. What was your answer? I don't like how quiet that got.
Yeah. No. So my thought is that he came, right? And so via ejaculation, it shot out what it shot out, right? Mm-hmm. However,
so clinical.
However, there's still stuff left in the tank. And so I felt like that second part was like the squeezing and emptying of the tubes.
That's what I thought it
so
was.
So it wasn't a secondary ejaculation. It was just
so much.
But that's a lot.
But I think it is because he is entwined. Because he is entwined.
It's like, did one dick come and then the second
dick
came?
No, I think both of them did, but I think maybe it's just like, it's harder for all of it to go out.
It's curly, so maybe something got stuck in the
hose.
I think it's just more backed up than normal.
Like, you know, when you're drinking a milkshake and like at some point it just gets like really clogged up and you kind of have to like squeeze it out. There you go.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Maybe things we would have known if this author had any desire to like describe a scene.
And also it just was like I was like, this is not attractive. I don't know. It was not for me.
Like that I think like, is as close as this author got to like going full throated, pun intended, and like going in on this character. Like there is a level of ridiculousness that you should be going after in this premise. Like it's kind of supposed to be. You're not supposed to take this too seriously. It's like that is like the only point where I was like, it's maybe supposed to make you a little bit uncomfortable, supposed to be silly. Like that's the only point where I was like, okay, you leaned into the premise. You did that nowhere else.
This is what I meant by like the beginning had more effort in it than the middle. Mm-hmm. And even the end felt very rushed, but like she clearly had like a, this is how I want it to start and this is how I want it to end thought process. And the middle really didn't matter to her.
Yeah.
It was Laura, like, I'm just trying to get you there.
Yeah. Which Laura, I think you'd mention, like some of the themes and topics it tries to discuss or makes an attempt at. How did that feel for you? How did that land?
It just adds more to my frustration with this book, because it feels like the author did put thought into certain aspects, but then never actually explored them.
Yep.
You know, a lot of what Holly talks about is she doesn't want to be a midwife anymore. She doesn't want to be in this process where the gods are only taking care of the child and not taking care of the mother. She doesn't want to have children. You know, there's these topics that are very relevant to today that I think were really interesting that she could have really delved into. And then there's just little details here and there that I thought were kind of interesting. Like Krampus says that he can't see children when he looks in the baubles. He can only see them once they get their wisdom teeth. Once they get their wisdom teeth, I guess they're considered adults. So he didn't know who Holly was until she got her wisdom teeth at 23, which is kind of weird, but okay.
I do actually appreciate, because I feel like the reason that she did that is to sort of subvert that whole, like, I've been watching you your whole life and now I'm sexually attracted to you. Like, that felt like a very intentional and like a good way to get around that.
I agree with that.
I clocked that too. I was like, convenient. She was not 17. She was 23. Okay. Yeah.
But it's still like little details like that, that I'm like, okay, she did think things through in some aspects, but then that was it. And yeah, so, this book, if she had is actually spent time with it, because again, I think the plot, or not the plot, the general idea, the premise of this book is really interesting, whether it's for the actual plot or for the sex scenes. If it were one or the other, I would have probably enjoyed this way more, but it's kind of neither.
Yeah, I feel like it's not even necessarily, the feeling I got out of it wasn't that, like, I mean, it is that she didn't think things through, but it, or like that she like thought through some things, but I felt like she had a single thought.
Yes.
One surface level thought and was like, I will put this in the book and then it will be serious. And it was the idea of reproductive health, of reproductive injustice, of misogyny, of slut shaming. Like, there was a very surface level thought about all of these things that went no deeper than that surface. And it was like, okay, so we're not actually going to say anything about this. We're just going to kind of drop something in here for no apparent reason. And we're not going to focus on that. And we're not going to focus on the sex. And we're not going to focus on the plot. So, like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I feel like there is a deeper mythology at play, like that's hinted at throughout the book. Mm-hmm. This site, and I've not done a whole lot of reading into the Tooth Fairy. I only know the Tooth Fairy as the fairy that gives you a dollar when you lose a tooth, whatever. But there's this idea of, like, the Tooth Fairy is a protector of children and will look over children when children are born. And obviously there's Krampus and Klaus, who are these gods, and they are the mother of, or sorry, they're the sons of, is it the Easter Bunny or Esther Easter or something?
Spring. Not the Easter
Bunny. Or Spring, oh, Spring, Spring. Spring. You thank you. Sorry. And so there's mythology behind this. And so I would like to say that I think, although this book is, it says that it can be read as a standalone, that if you had read the two previous books, there would be more understanding. Mm-hmm. I would like to say that. I don't have any faith that's actually the case.
Yeah. I was like, I would like for one of us to have read the other two just for argument's sake.
Yeah, because my biggest hurdle with the story was Holly, her initial wish of, like, you know, I would sell my soul for some coal, right? Mm. And then she gets coal. And immediately she is, well, I guess I have to fuck whoever wants to fuck me for as long as this, you know, this bargain's in place, like, all my holes are open. Like, she's just game.
And, like, not a thought in her head.
Where did that come from? Is that just something that's understood in this world? Like, if you make a bargain with a god, are you just their sex slave? Because if that's the case and all humans in this world believe that, then okay, fine. That's what it is. But I was like, Holly, where is this coming from? And she's very clear. It's like, all right, well, after the 12th day, we're done. It's like, so there's, like, definitely some sort of supernatural law at play here that makes all this okay. But I would have loved to have known what the hell that was.
Yeah. I'm with you that, like, I don't have any faith that that's explored in any of the other books. Like, this one is so bad and so surface level and so uninterested in its own premise that I'm like, yeah, I don't buy that the rest of them somehow fix this.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do people in the mortal world not poop?
Okay, because... so I thought about this. I thought about the anal plug, right?
Yes. And
she couldn't take it out for an entire day. I thought about this. My logic, which is not in the book at all, is like, well, she can take it out of poop, but she has to keep it in there.
Like, I mean, to be fair, there's also no anal prep of any kind. So, like, we're just, again, it's her embarrassment at not wanting to, like, have asses exist or a digestive system of any kind. She doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't want to see it. She doesn't want anybody to know about it. And I was just like, oh, okay. All right, cool.
And maybe they don't in this world. Maybe asses don't exist in this world. We have no evidence that they do.
Truly. Not a single allusion to any of them.
Listen, Cabbage Patch Kids do exist in this world. So
hilarious. True.
Which also is not a thing that made, not the Cabbage Patch thing, but like the general premise of like her whole thing was that she didn't want to be pregnant and like setting that up that like she was going to conceive the child, but then not carry it, but then raise it didn't make sense. Like I had to go back and read that page, still didn't understand it, just kept going, was like, oh, that's what she meant. She's just going to give.
Magically, it was weird wording.
What was happening there? Like, and it kind of feels like it also didn't want to interrogate its own premise of like why people don't want to have children or why people don't want to have babies or get pregnant. It was just like, oh, you just don't have to be pregnant. You just get to conceive it and then have it. Like, what's happening here?
Also, I don't know if anybody went and looked at the detailed trigger warning page. I don't know if anybody realized this because it was not very well explained in the book, but the description of her removing the baby from her womb, it looked like a pear, was removing her entire uterus.
Oh.
Huh?
It says in here that she removes her uterus in order to make a bargain without forcing Holly to endure a pregnancy she does not want.
Didn't need to give a content warning for that because that is not how that appears in the book.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I was like, wait,
Of all of the trigger warnings in this book, I don't understand, especially if she has apparently like a longer version of that. I don't understand how financial coercion and dubious consent isn't in here because that's the entire premise of this. She is poor. She can barely feed her family. She can't heat her home. It's freezing. And she ends up in a sex bargain with this guy who's now providing for her. That's dubious consent and financial coercion in my book. But like, that is not, again, a thing that is not interrogated in this. There is not a thought to be had about any of that.
I think she thought that she didn't need to include dubious consent because she's constantly having Holly's inner dialogue saying how much she wants it and enjoys it until the bargain is done.
For reasons that also, like to your point, Rico, are not clear. Why is she okay with having sex with this guy? Why does she want to? What's happening here?
I think it like purely came down to like, well, it's he's hot. I'm curious, or like the double dicks I'm curious about. And it seems fun.
But it was like immediately, like as soon as she got that package, she knew what it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, that part of it. I thought you meant once she saw Krampus. I was like, I think she just was like, never seen that before.
I mean,
let's try it.
We'd all react the same way if you saw.
Actually, let's talk about that dubious consent in the context of the random unsolicited dick pic illustration of Krampus.
Oh.
About that.
That is true.
I could not see any detail on my e-reader, but I knew that that was what it was.
Yeah. I mean, it was not super detailed, but I just want to say, like, you got to warn people, like, I'm reading an erotica novel, but I'm not asking for visuals here when I read a book, unless it's a graphic novel, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I was like, oh, maybe I didn't want to see that. I'm not really interested in the double dick thing. I'm reading this because I have to. So yeah, this author just, I think, likes dubious consent.
Not only did I not ask to see it, it set me up to think there was more illustrations in the book that I then started looking forward to. And no, it's just that one. It's just, well, I'm just saying, if you're gonna give me illustrations, cool. Let's see what else we got, you know? But
just that one. Yeah, we didn't get Klaus.
We didn't get Klaus. No, we didn't get Holly. We got nothing else. It's just, here you just go. Him. You wanted to see his dick? There's the dick.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely.
And a full glass.
Didn't like that. I definitely shared it with Z when we were talking about the double dicks and the boar. I was like, there's a picture. You want to see it? And they were like, actually, yes.
Of course. Good. Who wouldn't?
So good.
Is anybody planning on reading any of the other books to understand this mythology? Yeah, I didn't think so. I think
you should.
I mean, there's a lot of holidays. I'm going to have to read an Easter Bunny book.
I want Dahlia Davies to take this book and rewrite it into a full book and make it better.
See, I want her to rewrite it into a short story and make it better.
Okay.
I'm with Emma.
I would like that too. But I just
don't think she has enough for anything more.
There's just so many topics. There's so many things that could be, you know, building out this world and this story that I think could be really fascinating. And it's got to be written the right way. And I say that also because simultaneously I have been listening to the Butcher and Blackbird audiobook, which is so fucking good.
So good.
And that book, it is such a good plot in general. We don't even get to the sex scenes until like towards the end of the book. Yes, there's a lot of like talking and stuff, but it's over the span of 4 years and it's so good. And I feel like if you take that kind of concept of how to handle a long period of time, in this it would be 12 days, there's got to be a way to make it more interesting.
Well, that, and I think Butcher and Blackbird is a really great example of taking the quote unquote ridiculous premise and really sticking to the bit. And going with it. Like, is it ridiculous that there are this many serial killers in the world that, like, you can have two rival serial killers too. Who only each kill other serial killers and somehow they've managed? Like, is that ridiculous? Yes. But, like, commit to the bit. And she does.
Yeah.
And I feel like Dahlia Davies just is not interested in committing to the bit here. And it really, truly, like, I already felt like this. And then seeing Railed by the Easter Bunny was such a joke. And then I was writing it. I was like, yeah, that tracks. Because that's what this feels like. It's like, I just need you to commit to the bit and like have a thought about it. I just need people to respect their own work enough and respect themselves enough to like, I don't know. I just have a lot of feelings. This is what I was saying earlier. Like, it's not good, but it did give me a lot of thoughts. And that can be a good thing. I had lots of thoughts.
It gave us a lot of thoughts. And I say we just wrap up the thoughts now.
Yeah.
Because I think we've kind of talked about everything. This book didn't have a lot to talk about, and we've talked about it all. So let's move on to the ratings. This book has a very respectable 3.79 on Goodreads out of 849 ratings, two of which are us, because last time I checked, it was 847. Let's all take a moment and think of what we're going to rate this book, okay? Laura. Mm-hmm. What are you giving this book?
I don't like it, but I'm going to give it a one.
A one? A solid one star.
I don't do that very often.
Wow. Okay. Bella, what are you giving this book?
I also think a one. Like, it just was bad all around. Oh. The plot, the story, the sex scenes, the writing. The only positive... and why it gets 1 point is it went by quickly. It was a fast read. I think I read it in 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emma, what are you giving this book?
It is December 3rd as we record this. And this is my first one-star book of the year.
Aww.
I was so close. I almost made it a whole year without a single book being rated one star. And here we are. God damn it.
Yeah, all right, so one, one, one. I'm going to give it a 1.25.
Wow.
Okay, Rico.
Jason, you every can't time. Give it a 1.25 on Goodreads.
This is my reality. I'm giving it, okay, on Goodreads, it's the one. I'm giving it a 1.25, though.
Okay, on your spreadsheet, on your calculations, where's that 0.25 coming from?
Plot, I'm giving it a 1. Smut, mm-hmm. I'm giving it a 2.
Why?
2?
I'm giving it a 2.
Are you giving them, like, brownie points for a double dick?
Maybe. I don't know why I gave it a 2, but I gave it a 2.
Probably.
Consent, a 1. I know Klaus and Krampus are technically the same character, but they're treated like two different characters. I'm giving Krampus a 2. I'm giving Klaus a 1. I'm giving Holly a 1. As a retelling, I'm giving this a 2 because there were some ideas in there that, like, I did enjoy. I just would have Laura, you look very confused.
A retelling?
It's a retelling of Krampus. It's taking existing things and retelling it. It's not an original idea.
Okay.
We're going to stretch the definition of retelling, look, but all right, I'll allow it.
In the Oscars, this would be an adapted screenplay.
Okay.
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 Overall editing, a 1. Overall enjoyment, a 1. And that
My question was on the consent 1. That's the only place you lost me. Like, it wasn't great. It was dubious, but it wasn't non-consensual.
All right. You want me to give this a 2 then?
Wow.
Is that what you're
saying? I'm just saying. I'm just questioning your methodology.
It was never explicitly set up ahead of time. It was all
fair. All right.
That's really kind of where it comes from. And again, it's that initial question of, I need coal. Well, I guess I gotta fuck this monster or this god. Where does that come from? I just need that explained a little bit.
0 to 60 immediately.
There was no hesitation. There was no internal dialogue. It was just, all right, I'm putting on this mask and fucking taking it.
She's desperate. She's taking care of two children and a nanny.
Yeah.
Has no money.
That's totally fine. But
if she's going to be set for life.
Unless I'm mistaken, though, the note didn't say, hey, put this mask on. Let me fuck you. I'll pay for your shit.
Yeah, there was no indication that
there was no. It's just she just knew. She just knew the deal. I'm like, where is that coming from? Why is she so okay with that?
The meta answer there is that the author is just trusting that you're reading an erotica novel, so they're that's what it is. But they're making no effort to explain that. The author is just you as the reader probably already know this, so I don't need to explain it. Mm. What?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm giving one for a consent. I'm giving one for consent for the picture of Krampus's dick that I did not consent to.
I appreciate that because I was like, this is an unsolicited dick pic.
And it wasn't even a good illustration. If it was a better illustration, I'd be more okay with it.
It wasn't even good.
It was okay.
Again, I couldn't see detail on my e-reader, so later I went and I looked on my Kindle app on my phone.
Don't worry about it. We're all going to send it to you individually.
I took a picture to send to Z. I can send that to you. I already have it. And I was going to delete it off my phone, so happy to send it.
One of us will send it via Discord, one will be on Instagram.
It's on my Kindle app, so I can look on my phone, which I have already done. You can delete it, Bella.
Okay, great.
Don't worry, I got you. Don't worry, I got it.
Well,
anyways,
with all the ratings in, Bella, congratulations. You are no longer the lowest rated book.
Finally.
Really?
Finally.
You have been dethroned.
Emma, this is by far worse.
I honestly
made that it was so much shorter that it wasn't as bad.
I enjoyed it more than the Sting of Victory, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, too late. You already rated.
That's why I couldn't rate it lower than Sting of Victory.
Sting of Victory was offensive. It offended my sensibilities.
Okay, all right. You're just delirious from your disease.
I'm
going to take that feedback seriously.
Wow. Okay, so we are done with Railed by the Krampus. Now let's look forward to the future. We have another book coming up. This is Bella's pick. Bella.
Speaking of,
some of the worst books we've read.
Bella's pick is also the last After Dark of the season, correct?
Nope, mine.
No, oh, that's Rico's right. You haven't gone yet.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Bella, do you have a pick for us?
I do, and I'm really hoping that I am not going to fuck it up again. I'm so anxious. Let me tell our listeners how this process went down. I spent like an entire day sifting through Goodreads, finding. I think I looked at like Emma's list, Rico's list, found books, found other reviews that I respected, looked at their list, cross-referenced to make sure that these books were like, if they had read them, were similarly rated to how like Emma, Rico, and us like have rated the books that we've read. So I did as much fucking research as I could without reading the fucking books. So I'm really hoping this works out for me.
I can't wait for you to have done all this and it's still terrible.
And it's still bad. I'm going to be so mad. So I got like a good, how many books? I made a spreadsheet because it works for Rico. It should work for me.
I love a spreadsheet.
So I did send you guys the list of books to just get a gauge on if I was in the right direction. So to be fair, they have seen these books. This is not, except for Laura. Laura did not. For the record, Laura did not look at these books. So if you hate them, that's
not my fault.
Not looking, but also it's not your fault. So, but the one that I picked is the one that was my top choice that I keep, I've thought about it since I made this list. And then Rico also selected it. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go with my gut instinct. It's set in the 80s. If you don't know what this book is, it is Maneater by Emily Antoinette. And so it's a novella. So it's only 159 pages.
Yes.
Rico was interested in it. Rico, I'm curious, was it on your list or was this one of the ones
this
you were
was,
like?
This was on my fun. List as well. This was one of the front runners of my list.
I knew it. I considered it too.
Okay. See? So for the record, Rico and Laura at one point were interested in this fucking book. So I'm just the one that's picking it. So it's not just my taste that might suck this time. We'll see. But I was also like, it's 159 pages. So like, are we really going to hate it that much?
Probably. I don't know. We hated this one.
How many pages was this one?
214-ish, I think.
Okay, see, less than that. So less time wasted, Emma. You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
If it's another one star, I don't know. I'll buy you a giant bottle of fruit Scotto.
It looks cute.
Yeah, I was like, it looks fun. At the very least, we have like 80s succubus and witch. I'm not mad about it. So let's go. Let's do it. So that's our book. You're welcome.
All right.
All right. So everybody listening, if you're still with us, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on this Holiday After Dark episode. If you've read this book, if you've decided not to read this book, and you want to share your thoughts with us on social media, please feel free to. You can find us everywhere at Shit We've Read. Emma, why don't you let people know where they can find you?
You can find me all of the places at Emma Skies. You can find me on Bindery at Skies Reads as we are searching for our next book to publish. And that's pretty much it. Places you can find me. You can find me here.
All right, that's it for us. Happy holidays. May you, I was going to say, not be visited by Krampus, but according to this book, it might be a good time. So, you know, you do you, I guess. Bye.
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 Shit We've Read After Dark is hosted by Laura Benson, Jason Rico, Bella Romero, and Emma Skies, with an introduction by Jessalie Windhouse and editing by Jason Rico.
To join the discussion, find us at Shit We've Read on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
For more information about us or to request transcripts, please visit shitwevered.com.
This podcast is part of the Buy Low Network. Visit BYLOnetwork.com for more great geeky podcasts.
And thank you so much for listening.